Could the big free trade treaty of the 1990s get modified in a Donald Trump administration? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump stayed on or close to message during his meeting in Mexico yesterday with that country's president. Trump's border wall was not a point of agreement, but there was at least some common ground on the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA. Reporter Jennifer Collins is in Mexico City.
Peña Nieto says that NAFTA has been good for both countries. And, you know, it makes sense. Mexico is our third largest trading partner. You know, many products, including cars, get passed back and forth in the manufacturing before eventually being sold in the States. But Peña Nieto also says that NAFTA needs to be modernized, improved a little.
All right. So if something is wrong with NAFTA from the Mexican point of view, give us a sense from the Mexican perspective.
Yeah. So a lot of people kind of laugh at that idea that Mexico got more out of the trade deal. You know, for one thing, right after NAFTA, the U.S. flooded Mexican markets with cheap corn, and that put a lot of farmers out of business. According to some studies, more than 2 million farmers lost their jobs here after NAFTA. So, you know, you find a lot of cheap products in the supermarkets here, but you still have 70% poverty rates in rural areas.
And President Peña Nieto actually is open to perhaps taking another look at NAFTA?
Yeah, he even said modernizing. And I think that is a major word for, you know, looking at improvement, whoever becomes the president.
Reporter Jennifer Collins in Mexico City, thank you for this.
You're welcome.
Trump had said he's open to improving NAFTA. Donald Trump raised some eyebrows when he said in Mexico that he wants to keep manufacturing, quote, in our hemisphere. However, during a rally after his speech in Arizona, also yesterday, he called for penalties for U.S. companies that move to Mexico. Canada has been officially quiet on this issue over the last 24 hours, although one columnist in the Toronto's Globe and Mail paper today suggested that Canada should just walk away from NAFTA if it gets opened up for rediscussion. Another free trade deal may be doomed, one that doesn't even exist yet. It's the one that's supposed to create a free trade zone between the U.S. and the European Union, known as the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, or TTIP. But after 3 years of hard bargaining, TTIP seems to be fizzling out. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
Could this be the death knell of TTIP?
Ces discussions ne pourront pas.
These talks can't be completed on schedule, said French President François Hollande this week. 2 days earlier, Germany's deputy leader sounded even more pessimistic. Sigmar Gabriel said TTIP had in effect failed, but no one wants to admit it. The deal's opponents, like Nick Dearden of Global Justice Now, are eager to read the last rites.
I think TTIP is, if not dead, very close to dead, the walking dead. I cannot see a possible way that it can go forward from here.
TTIP! Hands up for democracy! I said TTIP!
The talks provoked bitter opposition across Europe. The fundamental fear, says Simon Tilford of the Centre for European Reform, is that a deal would mean domination by American corporations and lower European safeguards for consumers, workers and the environment.
The US is seen as this unregulated, red in tooth and claw kind of place, and that if we basically have to standardize regulation with the US, that will lead to an erosion of regulatory standards and protections.
TTIP is widely seen in Europe as an elite project, a playground for corporate lobbyists. Again, Nick Dearden.
It's become a symbol of how people feel they have been abandoned and marginalized and let down by the global economy.
But TTIP supporters, like Michael Wolgemuth of the Open Europe think tank in Berlin, say the marginalized will now suffer more if the world's biggest ever free trade deal does fail.
It's a fundamental truth of economics that free trade overall is quite beneficent and protectionism is what hurts the poor people most.
TTIP isn't dead yet, but even firm supporters like Wolgemuth say it does now appear to be doomed. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's check the markets. The 100-share index in London is up 2 points here. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up between 2 and 3/10%, 39 points for the Dow future. New home loans in the U.S. are down from this quarter last year. That's according to data out this morning from the real estate info company Atom Solutions. That decline was driven by a drop in refinancings, but those numbers were offset by a type of loan that was really popular in the run-up to the housing crash. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace reveals all.
What would you do if you had an extra, say, $50,000? A recent TV ad for a home equity line of credit has a bunch of ideas for you.
A remodeling project and doing house repairs, paying for college tuition, making a vacation dream come true.
The catch? You get a floating interest rate and your house is the collateral. Andrea Lee Negroni is a law professor at American University. She says as home values come back, home equity lines of credit make sense for some people.
Their house is worth more than they owe on it. They need a source of money to buy something else. It's the home as piggy bank.
But she also warns we saw the same effect over a decade ago, and then home values tanked, and it was a disaster. Darren Bloomquist is with data firm Atom Solutions. His report out today shows home equity lines of credit are making a steady comeback.
This has been a long-term trend, really, over the past 4 years.
Even so, this type of lending still isn't half what it was 10 years ago. I'm Lewis Wallace for Marketplace.
And in South Korea, Samsung stock fell more than 2% today after reports some batteries in the company's Galaxy Note 7 might have caught fire. The company's not confirming fires, but said it is delaying shipments for quality control testing. Samsung is pinning many of its hopes on the Note 7, with a new iPhone from their arch rivals set to be unveiled later this month. Yes, it is September already. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.